Okay, so let's look back at page number 74. Hold your place here, page 121. Look back at page number 74. And you'll notice at the bottom of the page, you have the section entitled The Atonement. Entitled The Atonement. And I want you to notice in particular point number 4 under The Atonement. I want you to take a glance at that. I want you to read it. I want you to tell me basically what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach about the atonement of Jesus Christ, or His death and covering of our sins in the eyes of God. All right? Point number 4 under the atonement of Christ. Read it. And I need someone to be brave and tell me what they see there.
That He was no more than a perfect
man. So He is a perfect man. He died as a perfect man. Gary, you have anything to add to that?
I was going to say the same thing. He was no more, no less.
All right, so no more or no less than a perfect man. You notice how they say it a couple times there. Notice in under number 3, Jesus was a perfect human life, no more, no less. This is just what Jesus gave for men of all kinds. And you'll notice the source is the You May Survive Armageddon Into God's New World, written by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society in 1955. All right, so from there you see that they see Jesus Christ as no more than a perfect human. And basically, the reason they believe that Jesus Christ was just a perfect human is because He was here to basically do what Adam, the first perfect human, could not do. What is a major flaw there between them comparing Adam with Jesus and Jesus being just a perfect human? All right, so they're taking away from the deity of Jesus, Jason says. What are we saying about Adam? Adam was not what?
He wasn't God.
He wasn't God. Perfect in a way. What do we mean by perfect if Adam was perfect?
He had no sin.
He had not sinned yet. There was no sin in him yet. And so Adam was a perfect human being at one time, if perfect means sinless. Remember, he who defines wins, right? So we always say, what do you mean by perfect? If perfect means unable to sin, well, then we would say that that was Jesus. And so even the two kinds of perfect are not the same. So we always have to say, what?
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by perfect? All right, so back to page number 121. I want us to talk about what we believe concerning the atonement of Jesus. Now, I had you turn to Acts chapter number 20. There's a reason for that. You now know that Jehovah's Witnesses believe that your sins were atoned for by a perfect human being, and that is all. All right, so I need someone to read Acts chapter number 20, please. And verse number 28.
Take heed thereof unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood.
All right, so again, we have them saying Jesus was nothing but a perfect man. Nothing but a perfect man. What does Acts 20:28 say? What did He have in His veins? Who purchased the church with His own blood? God did. You're adding to it. It doesn't say Christ. What does it say?
God.
So who was dying on the cross?
God.
Doesn't it say that there? Is that what your Bible says?
Yeah.
All right, that's a pretty important point, wouldn't you say? He purchased it with His blood. Did you know God had blood? Apparently so. When Christ was here, He was God. Of course, He's God now. He was God before He came. But when He was in the body, God. So whose blood was shed on the cross? Jesus' blood. But who else?
God.
Right. One and the same, yes? Made us in, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness. Remember that passage? He made us to sit together where in Christ? Heavenly places. Right, Jerron? He made us to sit together in heavenly places. So we are in Christ who's in heaven. So as far as God is concerned, everyone in this room, if you're born again, you are in Christ. And where is Christ?
In heaven.
So as far as God is concerned, the church is already in heaven, in Christ. Pretty awesome. So, therefore, Acts 20:28, when God purchased the church with His blood, that means He purchased everyone who's where?
In Christ.
In Christ. That's right. So everyone who's in Christ has been purchased with the blood of God. God in Christ. So, we're going to see these two truths, again, intermingled. Why is it so important that the deity of Christ and the atonement of Jesus for the blood, for the sins of mankind, why is it so important that these are together? Here's why. Because if Jesus is just a perfect man, then that means he can only die for another man. But if Jesus is God, and God is infinite, and everything God does is infinite and without limit, then that means he can die for every man if he's God-man. Does that make sense? If he's a perfect man, then we can see why he could die for Enoch or Evelyn or Pastor Bill. But we can see that if he's just a perfect man, he can't die for everyone. He can only die for one. But if he's God and everything he does is omnipotent, omniscient, omnibenevolent, omnipresent, immutable, without limit, then that means that he can die for everyone if he's the God-man. That's why it's important. That's why these two truths are connected. He has to both be God, and he has to shed his blood for the sins of mankind. Let's see these two truths again together. Someone read Colossians 1:20.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
All right. How did Christ reconcile the world to himself? Out of Colossians 1:20. How did he do it?
Through the blood of
his cross. Now, I want to know, who was it that died on the cross? Jesus Christ the man, yes?
Yes.
Now read Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. This is just a matter of what? How many verses are in chapter 1? 28? 29? 29? Now look at chapter 2, verse 9. Someone read it, please.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
All right, so in whom, Enoch, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily? In him. Him is Christ. In Christ dwells all the Godhood in a body. See that? So in 2:9, if you want to see God in a body, you look at
Jesus.
Colossians 1:20, Jesus, who is God in a body, shed his blood on a cross and reconciled the world to himself. See, I mean, look at those two doctrines. They're so close to each other. Let me show you again. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Someone read verse 18.
And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and who has given us to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Atonement means that you take two people who are at odds, there's a fault in between them, and you cover the fault and take it away. That's atonement. So you have God, you have us. Sin is a problem with God. God is pure, God is clean, God is righteous, God is holy. He cannot deal with our sin. I'm saying he cannot put up, he cannot tolerate our sin. And so he provided Christ to reconcile us. If you take out the sin, you atone for the sin, there's nothing keeping you from God. So reconciliation is the flip side of the atonement coin. If the price for atonement is made and sin is removed, then the flip side of that is there's nothing between you and God now, and you are reconciled. You're brought back to the same table. You can now shake hands. You can now hug. You can now communicate. You can now have communion. You can now walk. You can now discuss. You can now be friends. Okay? So this idea of Christ being the element or the avenue by which God reconciles the world. Now, I want to know how he did this. Verse 19. Go ahead, someone. Read verse 19.
To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
All right. So verse 19. How did God reconcile the world to himself? Andrew? Get some help. Anyone? How did God reconcile the world to himself? Verse 19.
Christ. He
was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Who was it that died on the cross?
God
in Christ. Christ, who is God. Colossians 2, the body of God in Christ. Acts 20:28, the blood of God in Christ. So when you see Christ, you see God in every way. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19. So you have Colossians 1:20 and 2:9, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. You've got Acts 20:28. See, the atonement for our sins and the deity of Christ are absolutely tied at the hip. They've got to be. Let me show you one more. Look at 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. So if he's just a perfect man, then we have a real problem. We are all in our sins because it was God in Christ. And so if it wasn't God in Christ reconciling us to himself, and if he was just a perfect man, then first of all, you know, the New Testament's no good to us because you've seen now three places where it says Christ. And that doesn't count yesterday, where the Pharisees knew that Jesus was claiming to be equal with God. That doesn't count what we saw yesterday, where Paul said Jesus was the Kurios who became the Doulos, who is now the Kurios. Remember? So, 1 Timothy 3. Look at 1 Timothy 3. Someone read verse 16.
And without controversy, great in the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
All right, now notice how close that is to chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. Someone read chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Paul wrote this to Timothy.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time.
All right, now listen to that now. Chapter 2, verse 5, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for us. When did he do that?
When he died on the cross.
Chapter 3, verse 16, who really was it?
God
was manifest in the flesh. If you wanted to see God, you look at Jesus. So four places we've seen in about 5 minutes' time where it was God who died for the sins of mankind. That's really awesome. That is amazing. That is good. You say, well, I don't know. How does that affect me? Well, it affects you, first of all, in the area of salvation. But secondly, of course, it affects you in that if God can stoop that low, then certainly we can too. I mean, you know,